I make 5% cash back on everything I buy. I made 5% back on that.
On this!
Drop down and give me 5.
5% back on this workout.
And 5% back on this!
New card members get 5% cash back on all purchases for the first 5 months, up to £125, and no fee. That's right, no fee with Amex Cashback.
Representative 31% APR variable. American Express Platinum Cashback Everyday Credit Card. Minimum annual spend to receive cashback. Terms apply 18 plus subject to approval.
What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer. Because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker and joining me today is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm actually tremendously excited. And the reason why is because right now when we are recording this, we are embarking on a total eclipse of not just the heart, but the sun. And Ronnie is right in the path of totality. I am basically in the fringes of it. So I put down my virtual background so that way if it gets a little darker here in LA, you can see it. And I guess we're going to see the ambient light in your room just go dark over the course of this podcast, huh? That's going
to
be so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to like leave the show and go look at it, right? I can't just like sit here and, you know, last
you
year there was
that.
An eclipse. It eclipse, but it was an eclipse. And I forgot. And I was like, why did it get so dark in here? I was like, that's one big cloud. I missed it because I was watching I was playing PlayStation or something. So,
well, I mean, for sure, I think that like we'll edit it out in the audio for people who are doing Crappens on demand watching. We'll just keep it running. You can just like, you'll watch it go dark. It's fine. But if you want to go out and look at it, totally. You know what's funny? I didn't get eclipse glasses because I was like, well, I won't be able to go see it because we'll be recording.
I didn't get eclipse glasses.
Well, don't stare at it, but do the thing where
I
you get to
eyes.
Repent.
That's what God gave me eyes for.
Ronnie's going to come in, you're bonking into walls.
I'm going to go trumpet and just stare right at it with my bare I have some sunglasses back there, some Angie sunglasses. So I'm going to put them, my sister said to put them over my phone and then film with my phone. So I'm going to put them on my phone and then I'll film it. So you got, look, I've already got it. My pop socket's ready. So then I can show you guys.
I feel like that's not how it works. But you know what though? I mean, there's nothing for me to look at over here anyway, but you know what you can also do is do the pinhole thing and then you get like a crescent on the floor. That's what I'm going to do. And in fact, I'll try to look at it from outside my window here so you can look at me looking at it, everyone. So this is a big astronomical episode of Crappens. It's going to kick in about 30 minutes. The eclipse is going to be
30 minutes. I thought I had an hour.
Girl, that sun, that moon is moving, okay? Is it already getting darker out there?
It's cloudy out there.
I have a question.
Also, isn't that annoying? Like, can I send a complaint into God? Because that's like once every 4 years you send a total eclipse and now it's cloudy. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like,
wait, I have a question. Will it fuck up your whole setup if when it's eclipse time that you can like tilt your camera up so we can see the windows, or is that going to fuck up all your lighting?
Well, I mean,
you don't
I can
have to do
tilt
it right
my
now.
Screen. Look, I can do that, but you can't really see the.
I guess I'm just when you go outside to look, will you leave the camera on the screen so we can look at the looky getting dark in your neighborhood?
Yeah, you can see it get dark, but you won't see the sun or whatever. Okay, you know what? The people aren't here to listen to us trying
right,
to say stupid things.
This is eclipse talk.
It's ridiculous.
You know what
you need to do? You need a bigger boat. You need to train people different on the boat. All for right. anyone who missed it, Jill Zarin is on Below Deck last week and this week. Please go watch it.
It's the best. Okay. So we are actually here to talk about Potomac, not eclipses. And also as a reminder, Europe is coming up very soon, and we're in the process. Our trip is coming together. We are so excited. So come join us. Our show is in London. Our first show is in London on May 24th, and then our second show is going to be in Dublin the very next night on the 25th. And then we're back to the UK for a show in Birmingham on May 29th. It's going to be three tremendous shows. We cannot wait to meet all our international European listeners out there. So it's going to be a riot. So come join us. We already know there's some people from here, stateside, who are going to be going out there, which is also like amazing. So excited to see everyone who decides to cross the pond with us. Anyway, though. Potomac. Oh, and Crappens on Demand. If you want to watch all this Eclipse Madness, go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens and sign up on the Crappens on Demand level, and you can watch us. Potomac. Episode 2 of the reunion. It's moving along. This is more of a... there's some like serious moments on this episode, but we return with Mia talking about Jeremiah, her son, and how Ink thinks that Jeremiah quite possibly is his.
She's like, yeah, he does. And they're like, still? Why does the kid think that still? And she's like, well, because I had an affair with Ink, and it was right around the time. It's like, okay, so did you maybe tell Ink it's not his? Fucking Mia, man. Mia's long grift is hilarious to me. And I think that it's because it's not even a grift. She's just like, whatever, I'm cheating on you. I fuck some dude and he thinks it's his son just in case I ever need him again. Right. Okay. Sounds like a plan, honey. Have a good day at work. See you soon. Have a good day at Crack the Back.
It's also funny how she talks about her affair with Ink as if it was like the time she got a Honda Civic. She's like, yeah, no, that was about the time. It was like 2012 when I had an affair and, you know, I got a really good deal on it. And, you know, the mileage has been wonderful. And, you know, my Honda Civic thinks that like my son is his, but I keep telling him no, it was from a Subaru.
But also she's so full of shit, too, because... Then she goes, and this is something people were pointing out on ye olde internet. So I'm glad that they addressed this. She goes,
oh, well, now here's the thing. I did an IUV. So I'm a woman. And so,
okay, so that's in vitro, right? That's like some fertilization stuff. So, yeah, she knows it's Gordon's. Unless she implanted the sperm from this other guy. Or unless the sperm invaded the implanted I don't know. How does it, can sperm do that? You know what? I'll bet my sperm would do that. If your egg had a decent caterer, my sperm would invade the already fertilized egg and kick the other sperm out of there to make a baby. So I don't know if that's possible, but.
It's like I've heard that there's some spanakopitas being passed around this party. So
I saw a Domino's delivery coming to this egg. So I know you think you're comfortable in there, but knock, knock. Okay.
So not even concerned with good catering. You just heard this delivery. It's in a good delivery zone.
Domino's catering. How dare you? What are you insinuating? Domino's not catering? You can cater your parties. It's in their ads.
I apologize. I retract the statement. You're right. There's totally a Domino's catering. So I thought that she had said IUD, not IUV. And I think when it comes to women's reproductive things, I so lack the knowledge about it.
You know
it
what? But we should get the knowledge. You know what I mean? Okay, what is an IUV? Let's see. There's an intrauterine device, like you said, an IUD.
That's what I
thought. It's a small contraceptive device, okay, that prevents pregnancy. Okay, so then I guess that's what it is.
No, I'm sorry. I misspoke. What I did was I got an SUV. And when I got the SUV, I was with Gordon. So I know my body.
It wasn't Ink because Olivia Benson and I were having lunch. Dunk, dunk. In a Law and Order SUV.
I know my body. Or the body of my SUV, and it's got a very good chassis.
SVU, not SUV. Okay, hold on. So did Mia from Real Housewives of Potomac have, what do you call it?
IUD.
Implant. What did I just call it?
In vitro. I don't, maybe IUV isn't a thing. Maybe we just misheard
it. I don't think it is. I think I misspelled it. Okay, in vitro. I thought she said at some point that she needed to have in vitro or something to have a child. I could have sworn she said that. I saw it on the internet that she said that. Already this recap is so fucked up. We should probably just start this over, honestly. Like, we talked about the eclipse that we don't know how to look at, and now we're just making an ass out of ourselves with eggs. And by we, I mean you. I can't believe you're acting like you know what's going on.
Ronnie, listen, treasure these moments. This is going to be the last recap where you'll be able to see the screen after you stare at the sun through your... your sunglasses.
okay. So, whatever. I guess she had birth control, so she knows it wasn't his, and she knows it's Gordon's. So now the other ladies just keep talking. there's a lot of points in this where they're not even arguing over each other. They're just having casual conversations as the reunion goes on. Like, Mia's talking to Andy, and then Ashley's just like, well, that baby does look just like Gordon. Have you seen that little chin? Oh, yeah, it's got an underbite. Oh, my God, did you see that child's underbite? There's no way that anyone else's child. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that child play checkers? Can't do it. Just like Gordon.
It's just a really good, like, checkers player. It's, like, really good.
And then Karen. So, by the way, Karen, her lower lip, I mean, I think she got, like, a lower lip lift or something, because it is just, like, bounding out. And so she's like,
you know, Andy, I think that children are off limits, and I don't care who the baby's father is, but this baby is going to have to watch this.
Children are not off limits when that's your storyline, that your child... didn't Mia bring it up? Who brought it up?
I don't know who brought it up, but I mean, I think that Karen has a fair point, which is like, why are we just like leaning into the fact that... like the paternity of this child is in question. Like, that's the sort of thing that could really mess up someone, you know? Like, I mean, I agree with Karen on this one. Like, I think that people too often go to the children are off limits thing if they don't want to talk about something that's difficult. Like, if someone says, like, if there's someone on the show who has like crashed their car into like a house, theoretically, I guess, future Karen, and someone says, I mean, what if there was like a, there could have been a child in that house. Like, children are off limits. Don't talk about the children. That will not discuss this because there's children. Like, that's bullshit. But I think,
or like
in this
her
case,
drunk driving thing, like, Karen could have killed children. Whoa, children are off limits. How dare you? I have a child. You can't talk about this when I have a child that looks just like Ray. And it's like, no, you drove drunk, you know?
Drove drunk.
You can't use it for an excuse. I see what you're saying. But, you know, these, I don't think we should, like, bully kids or anything like that. But it's already out. You know what I mean? You can't be like, oh, this kid, Ink thinks it's his. And then we go to commercial and then we never speak about it again. I mean, we need to talk about it for, like, 20 hours. This is Real Housewives. And also, it's about your kids. You know what I mean? And, like, don't make a show about your kids if I can't talk about them. It's like that show Toddlers and Tiaras. I remember back in the recap blogging days, people were like, you can't make fun of children. Oh, yes, I fucking can. When they're on my TV, I can. You don't want me to make fun of your kids? Get them off my goddamn TV and out of my food court. Honestly, out of my neighborhood. If there's a child in front of me, I'm making fun of that child. That's it. Sue me.
Yeah. What's so funny is that, like, this all happens in the first, like, minute of the episode. Karen's saying, like, I don't think we should talk about this. We should move on. And Andy's like, yeah, no, I know. And they're all acting like, yeah, we really shouldn't. We shouldn't, like, dwell on this moment. Meanwhile, Bravo made it a cliffhanger and left America for a week contemplating whether or not this child was the son of Gordon or Ink. So it's just funny that they're acting like, yeah, we shouldn't dwell on this moment, but the network stretched it out for 7 full days.
Well, let me just say this much for that kid, Jeremiah. What a sweetheart. Seems like a very sweet kid, very cute kid. And I think that any way that this pans out, not the luckiest in the father lottery. I'm just gonna spit that out there, and then we can move on. And that's saying nothing against the kids. That's saying against the origins. You know, I don't know that I'd really brag about either one of those parents. But that's just me.
Listen, you know what they say? You know, you can't put the toothpaste back into the joint brochure. Okay, so it is. The news is out, and he's gonna have to live with it.
Okay, so now they're asking. Andy's like, "So is that the rapper that you were banging?" And Mia's like,
"He's not a rapper. He is a radio personality. How dare? How dare?"
He's a rapper DJ. DJ is DJ Jazzy Jeff in the Fresh Prince, actually, minus the Fresh Prince.
Andy's like, actually, he's a radio personality in 20 markets. And they're like, thank you. And she's like, thank you, Andy. So,
yeah, she is in 20 markets. Whole Foods, Food Town, ShopRite, Stop and Shop. It just, the list goes on and on. He had a gig at Stu Leonard's.
He's basically the trop hop of DJs, Andy.
He's very well respected at Harris Teeter.
She's like, where did you even hear that, Karen, that I was with the rapper? And she's like, well, you remember when we were at the Grand Dame reunion party, family reunion party. And they're like, wait a minute, what, Ink was there? Just, no, I heard it from you. I heard it from you. And I heard that you, no, she said, I heard it, whatever.
She just heard, she tells a weird convoluted story.
Karen's
about
mouth is moving so crazy, I can't look at my notes. Like, I'm moving my mouth so much, I lose my place on the page, if that makes any sense.
Listen, it's eclipse time. Things are getting weird, okay? So, this was a weird thing. She's like, at the Grand Dame finale or reunion party, that's where she heard the rumor, essentially. But that was, like, 2 years ago, right? Like, that show was a long time ago. That's strange. So, Andy's like, all right. Well, by the way, at the finale, Daddy G was there. No, he gave you a really nice toast that we made fun of on the screen visually. And we put little, you know, thought bubbles of your marriage falling apart. So it didn't seem like you were separating at all.
Well, Andy, we had that party in a location with a lot of stairs, and that tends to calm people down.
We enjoy stairs on Potomac. We love a good staircase in the middle of a party.
He was so exhausted by the time we got to that speech. So now Robin takes a lot of shit for not sharing what she's going through, but everyone's talking about how transparent they are. So what about Mia? Don't get on Mia about how not transparent. Yeah. Mia was laying hints all season long that she was fucking around and cheating and all this and had an open relationship. Nobody cared. Okay. Cause nobody was surprised. And also Mia had like a full on episode about it, addressing it. And she's literally talking about her kid, not even being her husband's. Like
she has it in skywriting. She is trying to get it out there. She is trying to scandal all this up. She goes, I mean, Andy, don't you remember when Robin and I sat in fold-out Costco chairs in a room full of salt, and I talked about how I wanted to file for a divorce? we see them doing that. And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, moving on. Well, Giselle goes, can I ask, watching that scene, Gordon seems extremely angry, that famous scene. I love Giselle, like, wondering why Gordon might be angry in that scene when at the very, very end of the season, when all the shit comes out.
Yeah, and so Giselle's like, so was he mad because he's no longer financially where he was and you've decided to go with Ink, who is more financially stable? Is that what's going on? And Mia, who cannot be shamed. And that's what I like. That's what I like about Mia. You cannot shame the shameless, okay? No. She has no shame. Don't shame her. Keep it. Mm-mm. She does not care. So she's like, no, really has nothing to do with my separation from Gordon. It's just commingled because of the timing. Commingled, what an odd turn of phrase to use when you are talking about leaving your husband for the guy you've been banging for the past 10 years. I love her.
It is... Yeah, she is. It's just like classic Mia. So so Robin's like, I mean, it probably has more to do with his age, right? And Mia's like, no, it's just like, you know, it's like all of a sudden he is like, he's just like,
at me and like, what's your problem? And like, you know, he does things like he empties my bank account. Like, that's a form of abuse. Like, I wake up and all my money's at zero. It's like controlling. And I mean, eventually a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
And NECA's like, did he ever go to therapy? Did he ever go to therapy for his anger management? Did he? And she's like, well, he's in therapy now, but it's a little too late. Am I right?
So Giselle's like, well, always have your own bank account. Just saying.
Yeah. And so Andy's like, well, you said in your final scene with Gordon that you've been sending him money. Is he not working now?
No.
Are you supporting him financially now?
Yeah, I'm helping him, yeah.
All right. Well, one day in the Dominican Republic, you said you might have married Gordon for money, but then another day you entered the relationship with more money from inheritance. So can you just sort out these lies with a new lie? That'd be great. Thanks.
Well, luckily, Andy, I had 18 grandparents that died at the same time during one year. And so I was rich, and I thought Gordon was rich, but then it turned out Gordon wasn't rich because he was spending all this money. I had a Princess Di wedding, Andy, but it turns out he couldn't afford it. Well, welcome to being an American, okay? Nobody can afford that shit, okay? The whole world is built off of debt. I'm not going to shame Gordon for spending more money than he has. We all do. It's called capitalism, okay? Now, roll around in it in some cashmere and shut the fuck up over there. I'm proud of you, say, Gordon. Good for you, living big.
It's called Bravo TV, specifically. I mean, look at literally every wedding on this channel. I still remember, wasn't a wedding, but when what's-his-face, Slade, showed up with a Rolls Royce to pick up Gretchen one day. And I was like, okay, you just spent your rent money on this stupid scene to rent that Rolls Royce and try to pretend like you actually owned it. Got it.
Exactly. Like, this is smart, though. We live beyond our means. I don't even know what our means are anymore. Our entire country is like 97 trillion, gazillion, petrillion dollars in debt. Okay. America's just as bad as this, as we are with all this shit. Listen, a lot of people have died for my right to overspend.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, guess what? A blog, don't know what name it was, just some blog out there on the internet, recently reported that you're being sued for rent by the building in Bethesda that we saw you living in. Did you not pay your rent? And then we see it's from All About the Tea, which apparently Bravo does not want to mention by name. It says, Real Housewives of Potomac star Mia Thornton sued for not paying rent. Is she broke? Yes.
And, you know, again, I think we need to have a separate award this year just for the most truthfulness, the most truth, even though you're lying. Like, she's the biggest liar, but she's also offering up the most, like, too much truth, you know, if that makes any sense. But she's like, yeah, well, basically, he wouldn't pay his half of the rent. So that's what's owed. I paid my half. No one would say that normally. Karen would be like, rent? What are you kidding? Rent? I don't rent. I don't rent anything. I don't even know what you're talking about. I wouldn't even go see the musical Rent. I don't approve of people renting or not rent, not paying for their rent. I just don't approve. Mortgage? I'll go see that musical. I'll see that musical any day, Abby. But she's like, yeah, who gives a shit? You know?
Well, And then she's saying the reason why the rent was not paid was because Gordon wouldn't pay his half, so she's not going to pay her money until he pays his money, basically. So, and it's like, okay.
I thought she said she paid her half, but he didn't pay his half.
Well, she would pay her half, but she's not.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood it.
She goes, the reason why it's not paid is because I refuse to cover the entire bill, so he has to pay his portion. So basically it means she's not paying at all. So, like, she'd rather get into a legal jam. I guess she'd get into a legal jam no matter what. So anyway, Andy goes, okay, so when do you expect to finalize the divorce? And she's like, well, I've signed the affidavit and I can't get, like, a divorce until June of this year at the earliest. And that's because we're, like, up for sale with our businesses that we don't own anymore, but we're selling them anyway. And they don't want me to divorce him before that's done.
Okay, that answer didn't make any sense. Now, I know that I just said we need to make an award for her for truth-telling. But what? Okay, I signed like an affidavit. I can't get a divorce until June. And that's because we are up for sale for our businesses. You don't own those businesses? What are you talking about? What are you selling? Yeah. You don't own anything. You're lying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand what this is all about. So Nandy's basically like, he's like, you know, ask Candace and Wendy if, you know, their husbands who have hung out with G quite a bit, did G ever drop a hint to Chris or Eddie that the marriage was in trouble?
So basically then Mia tries this big thing where she's like, well, look, everybody on the sofa reached out to me except for Candace and Wendy because they hate your guts. Okay. Yeah. Do you not remember throwing things at Wendy last year?
Okay. Wendy's not always my favorite, but Wendy has a right to hate your guts and not call you. Okay. So I don't know what you're on about.
I always think it is always funny. This happens all the time on these shows where people are just like wretched to each other. And then something happens, like a divorce. And then they, like, one person expects, like, everyone to just call in and do a checkup. And it's like, that's just not the way life works. I'm sorry. Like, if you threw a drink at someone, they may feel bad. And maybe when they see you, they say, oh, I hope everything's okay. But they're not going to do a wellness check on you.
And not only that, she threw a drink on her after insinuating that Wendy was fucking, or was it after Wendy was insinuating that she was fucking Peter that whole time? So it's like, you're not really doing great things for her marriage either. So I don't know why you think that she's going to come out in defense of you. Anyway, she's ridiculous. And then Wendy is also ridiculous because her answer is, well, Mia, I just want to say this. When Gordon came to me and my husband about you and your marriage, he annihilated you. He said so many bad things about you. And I could have brought that stuff up, but I didn't. Oh, you're a very good person. Get out of here.
I know. So basically then Robin and Giselle are just like murmuring to each other, and Robin's like, whoa, but she apologized, and they're like, yeah, bumping vaginas. Ah. So then Karen's like, but why did he ring my phone? He called me, but I didn't pick up at all. And Wendy's like, please understand that the woman that I am, I never once said anything until today about anything he said about you. So the logic is, nice. I could have been vile to you, but I chose not to be.
I could have been supportive off camera, but I'm throwing you under the bus on camera. That's got to count for something. Hugs. Hugs.
Precisely. So then Andy's like, whoa, all right. And Candace goes, and I will say this, I felt really uncomfortable for you. I was really concerned for you. I just didn't want to be involved, which is the more honest response. Like, I just didn't want to get involved with this mess.
Yeah, it's definitely giving neighbor down the hall who's like, I heard screaming and yelling, but I just thought that's their business. Like, ma'am, that was a serial killing. So it would have helped if you had maybe done something. But she's like, yeah, I don't want to get involved in that. Like, you're just basically a crazy neighbor to me. Okay. So Andy's like, well, I mean, reaching out and saying you're concerned isn't getting involved. It's just being a friend. They're not friends, people.
Yeah.
So Mia's like, yeah. And, you know, I'm just like, I would reach out to you if it was a reverse role. You know, even Karen called, and Karen and I are on the outside. I've been coming for Karen all year. She's still nice.
Yeah. And then Mia does the whole thing of like, I mean, this is like a sisterhood, right? Like, we want to preach that always. It's like a sisterhood. When did these shows start really trying to push this narrative that these women are a sisterhood? It's not a sisterhood. It's just people who've gone through like a trauma together, the trauma of shooting this show. But it's not an actual trauma. Sisterhood.
Yeah. They need to stop that. Because guess what? I believe in canceling your family if they suck. So if your sister treats you like that, cancel her too. Don't be friends with her either. You're not under obligation to be friends with people who are shitty to you. But I love Mia's style. You know, she's like, how dare you? So I've tried to ruin your life multiple times and you couldn't even call me.
All right, I want to back it up a bit. Okay, all right. So you've been posting a lot about your new relationship on Instagram. Has anyone here met Ink?
And Ashley met him via FaceTime once, and Mia's like, yeah, I got drunk in her house one night. And Giselle was, I guess, maybe about to meet him, but then Mia wouldn't let her go outside to meet him face to face.
And she says that, you know who's his favorite? Wendy's his favorite. And so they're all laughing about that. And so then we go talk about, so tell me where you're living now. She's like, I'm living in a penthouse in Washington, D.C. And I'm like, how big is it? She's like, 5 square feet. Like, okay, you're living in a chimney. Like,
it's a penthouse. That's very much like Luann. Was saying that she was in a penthouse on like the fifth floor penthouse.
I lived in the penthouse apartment when I lived off Western. Did you ever come to that apartment? It was the shittiest place I've ever lived. Yeah. It was on the roof.
Oh, no, I didn't actually go in there. I just picked you up from there once.
Yeah, I lived in the top apartment, and it was on the roof, and people would go out there wasted. And one day I heard ping, and it was right outside my window because it was elevated, you know? And there was a guy, and some of the pee stream was coming into my window. I was like, could you not pee? This is the penthouse apartment, sir. Have some respect.
Now, Ronnie, I just want you to know that the eclipse, it's 4 minutes from the eclipse, and a lot
it's
of the
darker.
Sun is, I'm about to say, wait, can you give us a look-see. Yeah,
it doesn't look that dark here, but it's getting darker for sure.
There's, because I have in the background, I have like an eclipse cam going on, I can see
you have
that,
an eclipse cam?
Well, huh. I mean, I can see on YouTube that the moon is... let's see if I can present it.
You can't see anything here. It's so cloudy. Can you see how cloudy it is? It's like rain clouds.
Here. Let me show you what it looks so like annoying. At the moment. Can you see that?
Oh wow. It's already that eclipsy?
It's that eclipsy. I'm looking to see if there's any.
Well, why can't you stare at that? That's nothing. I'm gonna go stare at it.
No, don't stare at it.
I'm
looking up here.
It looks like Alfred Hitchcock. Angeles. It looks like Alfred Hitchcock, that moon.
That's ink. Doesn't even make sense. Why?
Alfred
Hitchcock.
But
Mia would say it. There's been some debate over whether or not Jeremiah's father is the eclipse.
I'm like so mad at God right now. Well, it's not that dark here, Ben. I think I still have more time before it hits here.
It's supposed to hit at 11:07 my time. It'll be at 1:07. Look, you can see it's about to be a blackout.
Not here. I think I get it later because I'm in Texas.
No,
it takes time.
At dark.
Yeah, it started coming from Mexico. Texas I read it.
That Texas grid, really. They really need to work on it because now the eclipse doesn't even work properly.
It shows at different places in different places or on different parts of the earth.
Quickly. I'm looking at the... This is around the time where if you put like a little circle out there, you'll start to see crescents and stuff. Look, it's about to go away.
It is. Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's not like
it's
that.
It's like
here.
A sliver. That's 2 minutes away, 120 seconds away.
I mean, I wish I could be more excited about stuff like this. I'm just not. I don't care about stuff like that. Isn't that weird? I mean, I guess I just don't care. People are like, it's history. It's happening right outside your
window. Well, I actually can't believe it's not darker over where you are. I don't know why it's so light. I think that we have to call the manager.
God. You have to call God.
Hi. You know what? Okay. I just want to let you know for future eclipses, you're supposed to turn the lights off when it gets dark. It's Jill Zarin complaining about the eclipse.
Okay. So let's get back to this for a while.
One minute till the eclipse. for a while.
It doesn't look like it over there either. It looks really bright over there, and it's really bright over here. So I think the news is lying to us.
It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to get, I guess, darker here, but not like that dark. I think it's going to happen very quickly. It's kicking in like a minute. The eclipse is about to land.
But we'll know. I mean, it gets dark. I was here last year for the eclipse, and it wasn't a total eclipse, everybody, and it still got super dark. Okay, so let's see. She has a penthouse. And then he's basically like, wait, you're saying he lives in Charlotte. You're always in Atlanta. Where do you live? Because it seems like she's moved to Atlanta, basically, is what everyone's saying. And she's like, no, I'm syndicated, baby. So she's not going to tell the truth about that. And she goes, well, actually, I'm looking at Houston. You all want to come to Houston with me? So then Andy's like, you're confusing and you're compulsively lying. So let's just talk about something else.
I like that now that she's dating a radio DJ, she now only makes jokes in DJ talk.
I'm syndicated now. Let me tell you something about Ink. He's the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
Okay, so now it's a pee break, and now Candace is talking to Chris during touch-ups. And she's like, well,
You are vehemently denying that you've ever said a mistruth of a man who's never been anything but kind to you, talking about Candace. Mm. This is just the latest of the lies. And Chris is like, yeah, well, you know, Chris doing the Chris. And he's like, you know, I don't even want to talk about this with Giselle. It's the same thing from last year. I don't want to talk about, you know, the abuse or the whatever I supposedly did to her in this room or whatever. Can we just not talk about it? Well, I'm sorry. But not only do you get to talk about that some more, you get to talk about your dick pics. So buckle up.
Get ready. So everyone goes back out to the set, and Robin's like, Andy, you look like a very handsome limousine driver, by the way. Huh? It's giving Uber black car. Huh?
I'm surprised she didn't make a Mr. Blue Eyes comment about Karen fucking her driver. Remember?
Right.
So, okay, let's get started. So now we go over to Giselle's stuff and the kids, which literally, congrats. This is a time when I want to leave the kids out of it. Why can we not leave the kids out of it when it comes to learning to drive plots or my child is going to college yes. and I'm going to cry to sad music a bunch? Leave them out of the picture all the way if you're going to leave them out.
This section here, after a 45-minute montage of Giselle's entire season. This was the moment Andy's been waiting years for. He's like, all right, well, Giselle, I've tried to make you cry every single year on the reunion, and now I have all the ammo I could use. Your dad died, your kids moved to college. Stop crying!
Yeah, and she does. So then it comes to, you know, how much she loved her dad and stuff, and then it becomes the argument between her and Wendy, because Wendy said, okay, let me get this question right. My notes are all over the place. So basically he's like, Wendy said that she was kind of rude about your dad being in the hospital because you were rude about her mom being in the hospital. And she's like, well, I just want to say, before you ask that question, that is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. Wendy, I did not know your mother was in the hospital. Nobody told me your mother was in the hospital. So when did I make fun of your mother being in the hospital? And she goes, well, that doesn't change the fact that you called my mother evil while she was in the hospital. Okay, but that's, yeah, it does. It does change. It changes the, what you're insinuating, ma'am.
Right. You're insinuating that Giselle kicked your mom while she was down, and Giselle merely kicked your mom while she thought she was up and able to receive kicks and perhaps even kick back. And on top of that,
she thought she was healthy your mom enough
was
to
getting
take the
like
kicks.
A 10-minute procedure.
Yes, exactly. And so Giselle's like, no, you accuse me. And she's like, well, I stand by it. I stand by that. So then she's like, my mother, she still called my mother evil while my mother was in the hospital. And if we're going to move forward in any way, let's respect each other's parents and not make comments about them. So Giselle's like, absolutely. And stop lying when it comes to what I said about your mother, because I did not know that your mother was in the hospital. And I stand by that.
So then, and now we talk about Giselle's father passing away, and, you know, Giselle's like really, you know, emotional about it, understandably. And, you know, Andy's asking questions about, you know, like the end there. And she says that she was with him while he took his last breath, et cetera. And, you know, sort of. It's like sad. It's a sad moment in time. Were you just looking at the eclipse there?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what that eclipse cam is doing.
Because this one's is in Texas. The one we were looking at before was in Mexico.
And so I told this you it was in Mexico first. I know. Look how you're far right. It is in Texas.
You're right. Yeah, it still has a ways to go. It's closing in on Texas.
Yeah, it's kind of, I was I had wondering. My freaking camera up there. People were just looking up my nose for this whole time. So I will stop torturing you guys.
Keep looking outside to see if like any of the shadows are looking more, are looking stranger. Because that's what happened during the last eclipse. Anything that would have been a circle turned into a crescent. And I'm looking to see if we're there yet. But we're not. We're not. We're getting close.
Okay. this is fascinating content. Okay. So now we're going to talk about the dad more, which is sad. Oh, no. Now it's going to get real fun. We're going to talk about Grace going to college. I don't care. I literally do not care. So now it comes to Wendy and Candace were scrunching their face when Giselle was talking about her child going to college. Right. Dun, dun, dun. So Andy's like, Karen, should you have taken a stronger stand towards Candace and Wendy when they scrunch their faces about children talk? Because you love standing up for children. And so Karen's like, I'm not responsible for any of these women or their faces, Andy. I can barely be responsible for my own I don't even know what my own face is doing right now, Andy. Is my face on me? I can't feel it. I feel a nose bone, and I feel a lip, and I feel one tooth. Honestly, that's all, Andy.
I mean, no one stands up for me when I scrunch my face. Now, do I scrunch my face every 5 seconds involuntarily? Perhaps, but people should still stand up for me.
Fly on my nose. Fly on my nose. Fly on my nose, Andy. Fly on my nose. I am not responsible for these women.
I still maintain that this controversy over Wendy and Candace allegedly scrunching their faces during this part was like total bullshit. This was created by Robin. They may have shared some looks at each other or whatever. I don't think what they did was the end of the world. I don't think it's the worst thing that ever happened. And if Giselle is bothered by the two of them making eyes at each other while she's talking about her daughter going to school, guess what? Most of America was probably yawning or like looking in the bottom of their Cheetos bag to see if there was anything left in there. Like, no one was compelled by this moment. And it was Robin who was like, the entire time Giselle's talking about her kids and they're making faces. I'm like, have you seen how many faces Giselle has made over the years when anyone's talking about anything important? So this was stupid.
Well, but also they're constantly doing that. They're doing that through the whole reunion. Anytime anybody says anything, they just look at each other like, that bitch. Look at that bitch. You know why? Because they hate you guys. Okay. And you hate them too. And you give them looks and they give you looks. So stop weaponizing each other's looks, because none of you are going to win this one. Especially you, Robin, sitting over there with your stank face this whole time. Every time anybody says anything, she's like,
well, what? Something
that's the
that
sound
maybe,
of her face, by the way.
Something that cracked me up. So Giselle goes, I was talking about my daughter. Why would anyone be making any sort of faces? And Candace goes, I do regret greatly. And Karen goes, thank you. Because she thinks Candace is going to say, I do regret that I did that during that moment. And she goes, I do regret greatly that Giselle would try to weaponize once again her children to make Candace and Wendy look like they're evil people.
She's like, I've never weaponized my children. And she's like, I have always shown love for all three of your children.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And so Wendy's asking if she can cut in, you know, and Giselle's just so righteous about her children. So Wendy's like, the last part I would like to say is something that you guys didn't see. I congratulated Giselle on where her daughter was going to school. They're like, no, you didn't. She's like, yes, I did. And I even said the word, you know, is she going to be an AKA? Like, I brought up a sorority. I said it, Andy. And they're like, nope. And Andy says, I wish they would have shown that. And Giselle's like, they didn't show it because it didn't happen. Nah, it didn't happen. Nah.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. No, it did not. It happened in Austin. You know, look. So Giselle's like, find the tape. And he goes, yeah. They say they don't have it. So, sorry. It's only in my ear right now. They don't have it.
And Wendy's like, yes, it did. It happened in Austin. You mean the time that you're saying Giselle wounded you so badly because she was talking about your mother while she was in the hospital? Is that the moment in time that you were complimenting her on her child? I mean, come on. let's get it all together here. So they don't have the tape of that. And you know what? They might have had the tape. I have a feeling a lot of this season went to the trash. You know, when they're like, oh, we should save that in case we need it for later. They're like, nope, just trash it. Like, we need the hard disk space. Just get rid of it.
I guarantee we will never need footage of Wendy asking Giselle if her daughters can be an AKA.
Well, guess what? We do need it.
So now it's like, now let's talk about Jason. Speaking of youth, how is your man Jason? And so just asking Giselle about this.
Yeah, this is a fake-ass relationship. Don't believe it for 2 seconds. And no one does, because he was photographed with some other girl was posting, like some little blonde girl was like, oh my God, like it's my boyfriend or whatever. And post looks like they're getting serious. And so that's what he's asking her about. And Giselle's like, I expect nothing from any man that I date, which tracks, actually. And you know, I'm embarrassed for her, but she doesn't seem to be embarrassed. So, I mean, we all saw it coming. So I saw him flirt hitting on girls in Vegas. So I suspected it was bullshit, but it's pretty obviously bullshit. And obviously doesn't care if he's embarrassing her because he was doing that at BravoCon. So God knows what he's doing when she's not anywhere near, you know. And also, who cares?
Yeah, Andy's trying to make it a thing about like, oh, there's photos of Jason with a blonde circling around. And Giselle's like, yeah.
I wish they'd just shown that drawing of Karen.
I know. Just she's just like, don't embarrass me. Whatever you do, just don't flaunt it.
Yeah, Giselle has been with cheaters for a very long time. She knows.
Yeah, it's kind of her love language.
Yeah.
Being cheated on.
Okay, so there's that. And then we go on break, and now it's time for Candace's montage. Okay, so Candace is tweeting, dun, dun, dun. While we reserve the right to be judicious about what we share, this is a special brand of audacity attached to individuals who will knowingly bury the lead and exchange damning, salacious lies. Why does Candace always talk like she's running a newspaper in the 1800s?
It's like what people do when they want to be taken seriously is that they just try to write in more flowery language. It's like every reality star has done this. I mean, I always think of Quad, how when she wants to be authoritative, she just says transpired a lot. Well, what has transpired is that the following transpiration occurred during things when other things were transpiring.
These salacious lies stand to cause irreparable harm to innocent standby beings in their standby. Like, okay, Jesus Christ.
So then, like, all right, well, a lot to discuss. Almost a lot to unpack, but we're going to keep our bags a little packed. Hey, so I want to start with what's going on with your life. You did have a scare this year when you discovered a lump in your breast. Did you get a second opinion? And she did get a second opinion, and her lump it's fine. It shrank down, so she's happy.
And then he asks about her tour, and she's still doing that. You know, I have to say, her mom must make a lot of money. I was going to say, Dot makes a lot of money therapizing, okay? So then now they're talking about the Drew Sidora stuff. Why was she giving Drew shade when she was saying she didn't want to hire her to do her show again? And Candace is like, well, I do business a certain way. And when I want to do business with someone that a friend knows, I go to the friend first to not be salacious in my standbyingness. And like, what are you talking about? What happened? Would you just fucking say what happened? And so Andy's like, yeah. Oh, well, Andy understood it. I didn't know what the fuck she was trying to say. But same. Andy's like, oh my God, that's when Katy Perry and Taylor Swift got in a fight because they were fighting over backup dancers.
Thank you for mentioning my two colleagues, Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. We are
thank
part
you for
of a sisterhood.
Being the first person ever to put me in the same sentence as either one of those people.
I will be inviting them to make guest cameos on my forthcoming Super Bowl appearance in the parking lot.
In Dr. Dot's living room.
Why is Candace afraid of just like putting it all out there? Like, why is she afraid to have a beef with Drew Sidora? Like, this will not hurt your musical career if you air out what happened with you and Drew.
Yeah, so I guess Drew came to her show and then tried to steal backup dancers. Is that what we're getting from this?
Backup dancers or a singer or a producer or something like that, right?
Yeah, who knows? So I think it's funny that like it's like such a low level to be stealing at. You know what I mean? I know. That's like some Craigslist. That's some like Craigslist hiring. I'm not making fun of someone living their dream. Like, I think that's like hugely impressive, and I probably shouldn't even make fun of it. But they're making it sound like, I mean, these are city winery shows. It's going to be fine. You know what I mean? There's other dancers. You do kickball changes. We've seen your shows on the TV. You're not doing stomp. You know what I mean?
It also speaks to how little Candy really cares about Drew Sidora, because like if you're gonna try to pull a connection, it's with Candy. And if you're going to Candace to get something to move your career forward, that means that Candy has not left that door open for you. It's like, yes, I will allow you to star in Todd Tucker's The Pass, but that's about as far as I'm going to advance your career.
Okay, now we talk about the lawsuit Michael filed against Candace. It was dismissed. And from the grape juice we hear, Candace Dillard on dismissal of Michael Darby's $2 million defamation suit. He deserves absolutely nothing. And she's like, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm happy. And she was getting sued for defamation. And they're like, why are you pretending you don't, Ashley, why are you pretending you don't know any details about the lawsuit? You know, talk about it on TV.
And she's like, all right, let me just like put this to rest. Like, I didn't know anything about this case in any capacity beyond
all the files that Michael shared with me in the emails and our long talks. And no, I did not stand to gain anything financial from it except the residuals from the money he'd be getting from it, but I would not get anything. So let's just put it all to rest at last, okay?
Why are they acting like there are so many secrets in this lawsuit? Michael was suing her because of comments she made that he was getting blowjobs from people on the show. I mean, didn't she make those comments on the show? So he was coming for her for that, just in case anybody forgot, because it's a huge secret we're not allowed to talk about. So now Candace back to inner. It's always a question about Candace's social media conversation. So she's been a mess on social as usual. And so Robin's like, well, what I felt when I read her tweets and the Variety article and, you know, everything else, I thought she was being critical of my job. I mean, she's saying I suck as a housewife and no, because we go over all the tweets where she's saying this is unfair and Robin, you know, is we all share our lives and Robin shares nothing.
This was actually, so I enjoyed this segment because I felt like I finally got an answer to the question I've been asking all season long, which is like, what the hell is going on with this feud between Candace and Robin? Like, it just never quite made sense to me. Like that Candace was saying, oh, Robin was conspiring to pretend to be supportive, to hide issues with Juan. It just felt so, not only did it feel like far-fetched, but it just seemed so far-fetched to create like a friendship-ending feud. Like it was just really, really harsh. So I feel like now I finally got the answer as to why there was such a rift between the two of them. So Candace is like, let me tell you what the timeline is. And so reunion was on January 19th. And then on January 23rd, Robin had posted a photo where she still had her reunion hair in, and Candace DM'd her and said like, oh, pretty, or long hair. Robin's like, no, it's long hair. Cause I guess Robin had long hair. So Candace wrote long hair, like, cool. And she just never wrote back. And so then,
Robin did write back.
I'm sorry.
And she said, yeah. Oh, it probably makes me look more like a white adjacent looking woman, which I can't imagine is a good thing.
So this was, she's like,
in case you didn't get my sarcasm, let me just add that last part in there too. And so then Candace was like, oh, are you mad at me? And then Robin never responded. And then later, like 2 months later, it was radio silence. Then 2 months later, when the stuff with Juan came out, Candace then messaged again and said, I'm sorry this is happening to you and I'm sorry it's happening to your family. And again, Robin never responded.
So she's like, okay, well, you didn't text me back. And so what do you think is going to happen?
Basically, Candace is like, fuck you. I went scorched earth because you didn't text me back. And so
that's who I am.
Yes.
Don't you know?
She's like, you weren't around to wave a butter knife at. So I did it figuratively.
Okay. Right.
So she's like, yeah, when that stuff came out and then you put it behind the paywall, I was like, oh, okay. So then I was pissed and I tweeted what I tweeted and it hurt you. So I guess I apologize that it hurt you, which is the kind of apology we all love, right?
Yes.
I was not wrong. You're a bitch, but I'm sorry that your feelings got hurt by you being an asshole and being incorrect.
So this made it make more sense to me. Like, it made more sense to me why Robin was so angry at Candace. And it made more sense to me, even though Candace had mentioned that she had messaged Robin over the course of the season and Robin hadn't responded to her. Like, it made more sense why Candace was feeling hurt. She was feeling like rejected because Robin had suddenly just like iced her out. And I was like, okay, now I think the show would have benefited from leaning into this in the beginning of the season. I don't think that the show wanted to, But I think it would have been, I think it would have been the smart thing to do, because it would have given us some understanding into this feud. We would have understand, it would have grounded the season actually. And I think again, this to me is a failing of the showrunners not really seeing where the story is.
I think they saw where the story was. They're not talking about it because they were trying not to talk about colorism, because the past few seasons have been this colorism conversation. And obviously, from what we've seen here at this reunion, Giselle, when she said last week, well, they were supposed to give Candace a talking to or whatever about all of this mm-hmm. stuff. Basically, I think that they were not wanting it on camera to have more of this discussion, because let's face it, it's not the most fun discussion. It's a discussion that I'm sure is very important and that they should be having. But I think it seems like it was a conscious choice to not discuss it, right? Because they're bringing it up at the reunion now. And it was basically the lingering drama from last year's reunion where Candace yeah. was accusing them basically of colorism. And so that's what it's about. So they were avoiding, it seems like they were avoiding that during the season, absolutely. But eventually it's going to come out at the reunion again. So here we are again.
Because not only does it come out, but now it feels like, oh, we're still talking about this. Not that like, it's like, oh, we shouldn't like talk about it, but it makes you realize that there was stuff that was totally unresolved from last season that, well, we knew there was stuff that was unresolved, but it just sort of highlights it. And I think that if they had not been afraid, it isn't a pleasant topic, but if they had gone into it and not been afraid of it, I think it would have been more compelling ultimately, because it's real. And I think also there would have been a chance to like maybe start to work through it. Instead, it was just sort of avoided all season. And so that's why, you know, you can always tell when there's like a bigger story that's being avoided, because then it's like you're watching Chicken Shit Bingo. And I'm like, what's going on here? Like, why is nothing happening on this season right now?
But it's also none of it's new information, right? Like, we did know that through the season what was going on. We knew that Candace accused them of that, of colorism. And we knew that Candace was coming after Robin. We just didn't understand it's because she was hurt. But I love that Candace is like, oh, I was dumped. And I'm so shocked that I was dumped, when she just spent that whole reunion going out. Like, again, it comes back to the conversation of like, you come after people like that, but then you expect them to just want to go to lunch the next day. It's crazy mm-hmm. to me, you know? But it's also such Real Housewives behavior where people just don't understand. It's like, yeah, but that was work. I was just screaming at you because of work, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like us, frankly, when someone gets mad at us in real life about something, and it's like, I can't believe I can't believe someone would get mad at me for saying something. I was just at work, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you just drag them through the mud for like 13 weeks in a row and like call them all sorts of names. And I'm shocked. I'm like, oh, how could they be offended? I'm so offended that they're offended. And then I will never forget that, you know?
So Robin,
it's been dark out there, guys.
Wait, show us.
You know where I can tell? Because I'm starting to look like powder. I have to adjust the lights.
Your lighting was different. Wait, just show us a little bit.
I have to adjust the lights as it gets dark. It still looks pretty bright out there, but
it looks bright probably on camera because it's probably adjusted.
Let me see. In LA, it's
getting a lot darker.
It's literally just completely sunny.
Nothing eclipses Los Angeles. Anyway, Robin's like, not only were you calling me colorist, and we had this huge colorist conversation, and then you're sending all these people online after me because we're having this huge conversation, and that does amp people up online about it. And not only that, but then you come after me about Juan, and all this shit's happening with Juan, and you're, you know, everybody talked about it. It's not that you talked about it. It's that you're accusing me of all this nefarious shit regarding Juan, where I'm turning on you and doing all this stuff against you to protect Juan, which is just ridiculous. So it's like hurt on top of hurt, and you're wondering why I don't want to fucking hang out with you.
Yeah, and Candace is like, well, I want to go back to the colorism conversation. And she says she grew up in a household where you talk about race and color all the time in the diaspora, and it was commonplace for her. So for her to like bring up any aspect of race, not uncomfortable for her. And she mistakenly thought that Robin would also be comfortable talking about race. And
she's just comfortable talking about race. Come on. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
And I love that she's like, oh, it's just a friendly conversation about race and not me accusing you of using your
I'm sorry you're not evolved in the same way I am. So Giselle is like, well, I don't have any problems talking about colorism. I am a member of a black sorority. And can just, and I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. So Giselle is like, I went to a black college. I can have colorism conversations. It's not hard for me. And she's like, well, you'll talk about it when it benefits you. And she goes, well, it has nothing to do with you. And that has nothing to do with you going on social media insinuating that we're colorists. Those are two different things. She goes, well, I did not insinuate you were a colorist. She's like, yes, you did.
And this is the thing with Candace. She always makes it seem like, what? I never accused you of that. How could you even say such a thing? Like, you did. It's on TV. You've done it multiple seasons. And I'm not saying whether you're even right or wrong. I mean, look, obviously, we're two white guys. I don't really think it's my place to be like, oh, well, let me tell you what colorism really is and who's colorist and who's... I know that that's not my place. I'm not even going to try. But for Candace to be like, I never... insinuated that is crazy. We all watch the show and you insinuate it all the time. Now, are right. you right? I mean, they had that whole conversation last year and I thought it was actually a good conversation about it and what it means or where it comes from and how it affects different people and all of that. But to say that you've never said it is crazy.
Right. I think that I imagine what Candace's response would be, that Giselle has benefited from the privilege that comes from colorism. That's what I imagine Candace would respond to that with. Yeah. So I don't know. Either way, they're getting into it. And so Robin's basically, Robin's actually very, very rattled by this. And Wendy's saying how, that she literally, she goes, she literally opened up the conversation by saying, I don't believe any of my castmates are colorists. And Robin's like, yeah, but I was talking about on the reunion because it was out of control on Twitter. Everyone was coming at us about being colorists.
And so Wendy's like, yeah, but, if this was a black and white conversation, this is almost equivalent to the white person saying, I'm so hurt that you called me a racist. Like, why aren't we going to have the discussion on why you were called that? That's what the discussion needs to be. And so Wendy's like, you're not Karen's like, guys, there's
Ronnie,
no,
it's like
better
black out there. Sorry.
Oh, it just got dark.
Look.
Okay, here you go. Hold on.
Whoa!
Oh my god, it's nighttime now. Bye.
I was looking at my notes and I just looked up and I was like, your windows are black. Wait. I mean, it's still super sunny here. How cool.
I don't see it, but it is dark. Okay, yeah, I don't see it, but it's definitely dark out there. That's crazy. The gardener stopped. The leaf blower. They're probably up there staring. They're going to be blind down there bumping into the house with the leaf blower.
This is classic Crappens that we're like trying to navigate a very delicate conversation about colorism without being problematic ourselves. And it's like, wait, stop everything. There's an eclipse.
But I have to point out something actually extremely problematic while we're talking about that. We're talking about colorism. The lights that I use on the computer are so bright white that when it gets dark in here, I have to adjust them. I look like powder. Like, we're talking about colorism and I'm literally, my skin is literally draining color while we're talking about colorism. I mean, could you make it any more fitting in here?
It literally is like nighttime on your screen right now. Meanwhile, it's bright as day over here. I'm waiting for I know it's not going to get as dark as that, but I'm waiting for some funkiness. Like, hello. Give us some LA funky.
Give us some LA. It's like I've never seen the dark before. I'm like, wow, it's dark. Okay, come back, son. I thought it was supposed to be
stars. Can you see stars? Oh, it's cloudy. You can't.
No. Okay, so let's see. So yeah, colorism. So then Candace is like...
Oh my god, there's an eclipse. There's an eclipse. Oh my god, it's like so dark. It's so light in LA. I wish it was like dark in LA too. Yeah. Okay, so colorism.
Okay, so Wendy's like, if you want to talk about colorism, you need to have the range to talk about that. And a lot of people on this couch just don't have the range. And Candace is like, and that's okay. It's okay. And NECA's saying, but wait, what's the reason that you're colorist, you guys? And Robin's like, I don't know. And NECA's like, because if you want to start She says, what if we're going to talk about it, then let's talk about the reason. Like, let's find out the reason, guys. Let's find out the reason. Like, why are you colorist? Why? Why? And Robin says, because anytime you have a conflict with the brown-skinned person, we're colorist. But we forget that Karen and I beefed, and Ashley and I beefed. We all beef.
And I was like, I felt like, for some reason, I felt like we were starting to move in a direction that, like, there's obviously a disconnect going on with this cast. And I felt like maybe we were starting to, like, okay, we're starting to have some conversation here. Like, I think NECA's asking some really good questions here. And Andy's like, okay, I want to wrap us out of this conversation. I assume there's no place for you two to go right now. I'm like, really? You're going to do that right in the middle of, like, this is, like, a serious thing. I know it's not, like, I know it might not be the frothy entertainment you want. I know you have a 15-minute segment about blowjobs in the pipeline that you're ready to show us, but I kind of felt like I would have liked to have heard more of this discussion. I think it's fascinating. I mean, it's not the funniest thing for us to recap, but I think it would have been
fascinating. Well, especially if you're going to bring it up again. I mean, it's like year after year. If you're going to, if it's going to keep being brought up, then talk about, have the discussion.
Talk about it.
The discussion's real. Going on anyway online. I mean, it's still a huge thing online. It's still going on. It's still going on the show. It's still affecting all the plot lines on the show. It's coming back.
Go look at it again. Is it ever going to get dark in L.A.?
Damn it. Hold on. I'm checking the other window. My God. So I went to check the other window and a neighbor is setting off fireworks. Like, seriously? Is this a national holiday? Get the fuck
Why
inside.
Why am I set a fire? You don't like distract away from...
Welcome to Texas. Hunters in the clamps, let's do some fireworks. Go to work. Get a fucking job.
So, by the way, here's the news over here in LA. So it never got dark at all. But if I had gone outside and like done the pinhole thing, I would have seen... I would have seen crescents. My friend took a photo of the colander, and then the colander, the light going through the colander was like a bunch of crescents, which is really cool. So wow. I'm gonna stop looking at my window. I think at the
they're setting off fireworks. Shut up!
I'm just telling you. I just feel like you deserve better.
Robin's like, okay, so colorism. Are we done with this? Okay, yeah. Andy is like, I want to finish this talk now. So now it's a bathroom break, and then NECA is now in her dressing room, and she's like, oh my God, I went through this reunion and I don't have any drama. It's like part two, I still have nothing. I've done nothing this season. Oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, because I've been really good at not engaging on social, but you know, like I haven't attacked anybody. I haven't done anything, you know, because I was under the impression that at the reunion, I would get to have my say, but I don't get to say anything. Why don't I get to say anything? And
this was actually a very meta moment or a fourth wall moment where she's like, I'm trying to save my job here, but they're not even asking me anything. Like what I'm playing by the rules, but it's not working out.
Yeah, and who's giving her advice? And Mia's like, well, you better hurry. You better say something, or it's going to look like you didn't do anything, and they're not going to hire you for next season, sucker. Basically,
and I just like, what you don't want to do is allow anyone to stop you. So if anyone tries to interrupt you, you say, "Hey, can I speak again?" Because what you don't want is me speaking for you. Because I will do that.
She's yeah, like, okay, and you're not she's like, oh my God, that. You're not helping me, okay? Like, either support me or go back with Juan Dixon wherever he is. Like, what the hell?
It's such a man thing. Like, let me tell you how to reunion, okay? This is how to reunion, okay? I'm wearing a glittery hat right now, so I understand. I understand the assignment.
I loved his outfit. I thought he looked so cute. He really came to shine. I think he had the best reunion look of all.
He did, yeah. He really got his formals together. So now the husbands, ladies and gentlemen. This is definitely the least amount of fun we've ever seen the husbands have. Because normally on this show, the husbands are forced to come and they don't want to be there, but they still laugh and joke with each other and have a great time backstage. I think they miss Michael. I'm just going to say it. I think Michael brought something like
He brought like a party atmosphere. He's probably made everybody do shots and lines of coke off each other's ass or whatever. But yeah, no one seems very pleased this year.
Yeah, they're pretty well. They all may be like, they may be feeling the way we are, which is like, God, this is just a shitty season. So Andy's like, "Hey everyone, welcome back to Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm joined by the always affable Real Housewives husbands of Potomac. I gotta tell you something, Ike. I want to steal your outfit. Honestly, I kind of want to have sex with you right now. I'm not gonna lie. Oh, did I say that part out loud? Sorry, Megan. It was awkward for me as your boss to say that."
Eddie's business is doing well, and he's like, people love their cannabis. They love their cannabis. Well, go figure, you know? So then now Andy asked me, she made a comment that she used to be the other girl on guys' trips. What does that mean? And she's like, well, before we got married, he would take me to golf trips with the boys, but it was with all the mistresses. But now I'm one of the wives that's getting cheated on while he goes on the golf trips. And he's like, oh, this is such a sweet story. God, I love having you here.
Yeah. Chris, we didn't see a lot of you this season. Was it by design? Was there a sudden interest in duck quesadillas? He's like, yeah, no, it was by design. I want to stay away. And he's like, all right, you just don't want to be in the mess. Yeah, if I'm not wanted around, then I don't need to be around. It's okay. He's like, yeah, but wait, are you not wanted around by Candace? Like, no. And Candace is like, no, I want him around. He's like, okay, I'm not really sure I'm understanding what's going on here.
Because he's being a victim, just like Candace always is. If there's a problem, it's like, well, if you don't want me around, then I'll not be here. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. So you're not around because you've been accused of having an affair and you're afraid that people are going to confront you about it on camera. Rightly so. I don't blame you. So then, let's see. So honestly, after last year's reunion, Andy, I'm tired of talking about it. I haven't mentioned any of this stuff with Robin since that reunion. And then he's like, I've been interviewed after the reunion. I didn't talk about it again. I didn't talk about this stuff with Giselle and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sick of talking about it. So then Bounty from Paper Towel says, Chris, this year a woman came out online and claimed she had an affair with you and even had an abortion for you. Then a few weeks later, she made the whole thing up. She said she made the whole thing up. What happened there? And everyone's just staring at him. And he's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, like, did you guys pay her off?
He's like, have you ever met this person? And he goes, it was interesting because he sort of like emphasized this phrase. He goes, no, I have never met this person. And he's like, and Rob goes, but the screenshots, I've never met this person. I'm like, is anyone going to ask if he's ever talked to this person on FaceTime or on social media? Because he's really being specific about saying that. Like, he wasn't like, I don't know this person. I've never met them. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, no, I've never met this person. I don't know who this is. But he's like, I've never met this person. This felt like he was really leaning into semantics there, if you ask me.
So Robin's like, okay, but there's screenshots from your account. So did she Photoshop those? And Chris is like, I will say it to you one more time. I've never, met this person. She's like, but you cannot meet her, but still send screenshots. And Chris is like, I don't know anything about that. You know, she said it happened. And then she said she lied about it. So did it or didn't it? You know, he does sound like he's lying. But from what it sounds like you're saying is he was talking to this chick on DMs and sending pictures of his dick, but it was a soft dick, which, listen, man, dick pics are gross. I'm sorry. Okay. No one really loves getting a dick pic. And I love dicks, but I even don't. It's just you're not in the mood to necessarily get them. And so a dick, if you're not in the mood, just looks weird. Okay. Yeah. But if you're going to do it, don't send me a limp dick. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, my dick is tired. Okay. Do you want me to send you a picture of me taking a nap? Because that's basically what you're sending a picture of your dick doing. Nobody wants a picture of that. Who does that?
Well, Eclipses from our Overrated said, Candace, did you pay that woman off so she'd say that she made the whole thing up? Her quick retraction was very serious. And Candace was like, was it quick? I don't remember the timeline, but no, the answer is no. I didn't pay anyone.
Oh, you don't remember the timeline? You're very, yeah, Dot did. You're very, you don't, that didn't affect you at all, huh? Don't remember the timeline? Okay. So yeah, these two, I didn't believe it coming into this reunion. I thought, well, this is crazy. This lady seems like a nutcase, and I didn't believe it. But now I do, because they're both acting fishy as hell.
Yeah. So, well, you expressed that these ladies were behind the rumor. And Candace says, well, she's like, I don't know that to be true, but I am so distrusting at this point, particularly Giselle, that I don't put anything past her. And Giselle's like, that is not true. Wah. And the girl even came out and said, please keep Giselle out of it. I don't know her. Which actually makes it sound more like Giselle's part of it.
And then Giselle sounds guilty as hell, too.
She said, I have never talked with Giselle. I've never seen her. And furthermore, Giselle is correct in every argument she has, particularly the ones with Candace. But this has nothing to do with Giselle, also known as National Treasure and Icon. She said that.
Giselle has nothing to do with it. I hope Giselle comes out with her own workout pants so I can buy them.
I remember where I was. She said, I remember where I was when I received that photo from Chris. I was just finishing lounging in my GNA joggers, which were so incredibly comfortable. I'm shocked that no one else has bought them.
So Giselle's like, yeah, the girl said, I've never talked to her. I've never seen her. She has nothing to do with this. Chris and I had an inappropriate relationship. Giselle is gorgeous. And that's all she said. And so Candace is like, well, that woman has no credibility. And Chris says, yeah, well, look, Giselle, much like you feel how you feel, she feels how she feels, and people can feel how they want to feel. And that's, Giselle's like, no, it's not a feeling. That's what she said. I don't know anything. I don't know this girl. And she's like, but Candace said she feels that way, much like you said you feel a way about what happened 2 years ago, and people feel how they feel. So you want to be acknowledged for your feelings? Then let her be acknowledged for her feelings. Did you show your dick to a lady on the messages? Because now you don't get to use
on the messages.
A woman feeling a certain way in a hotel room on how your penis felt when it took a picture of itself and sent it to someone on a DM, sir.
So Andy goes, hey, I thought you and Giselle had kind of cleared the air last year and were cool, but it seems like we're back to square one. And he goes, I didn't say anything. Like I said, I've nothing more to say on the matter. I left it at the reunion last year. It is what it is. I mean, it's very interesting because some people say that Candace needs to be responsible for her words, but to allow somebody just to say, I used the wrong word and we're just going to let it say, okay. I'm like, okay, so that was interesting. That, I mean, that's a fair point because they do come for Candace a lot for her words. And then Giselle was like, well, I shouldn't have called him a sneaky link. And for that, I apologize. They let it off the hook. But what's funny is that Chris was also saying, he was kind of like acting like, well, I haven't been talking about this issue, but it keeps on getting brought up. I'm like, well, not to be this way, but I think the one who's been bringing up the most has been Candace, to be honest. I don't think anyone else wants to talk about it.
Yeah, because she's still not gotten an apology for it. So she's like, until you admit that you were fucking lying, which is never going to happen, you know? So then Andy's like, okay, well, Juan's not here. How do all the other husbands feel? Like, you guys come to humiliate yourself on TV every year. Get him. And they're like, yeah, what the hell? And Chris goes, he can do whatever he wants. He's like, okay. Well, Chris is just a bundle of joy, you know?
I know. Gordon's basically like, you know, I don't want to throw Juan under the bus, so I don't want this comment to be taken as me criticizing someone else, but I was coming to support my wife, now ex-wife, but I was coming to support her, and if she wanted to be here, I'm coming. So I'm not throwing Juan under the bus, but I am implying he's a shitty husband. Okay, great. Next question.
I have to say, while Chris was doing all of his, and then if you want to speak to some, you know, he was doing this like whole like telling everybody off thing, and while he did it, Candace just sat in front of him smirking like, you tell him, honey. I was like, oh my God, these two are not coming off well at this reunion. And I feel like Candace kind of should have won the season in a way, because I feel like she was wronged the most. But they just can't take a winning hand. Okay, so now, guys, is the moment we've all been waiting for. Gordon is going to tell us in a big dramatic soap opera speech what's really going on. He's like, Andy, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to address this. I'm excited to do it. And I know fans have questions. And I know this great friend group has questions. So I want to share something that I know everybody needs the answer to. All right, we'll be back next week, everybody. To be continued.
To be continued. Well, yeah, it'll be a to be continued. We've got part 3 finally. of this reunion next week. So we have that to look forward to. And yeah, so thanks everyone for being here. We also have Summer House Martha's Vineyard coming up this week and all our usual slate of shows. So be sure you're subscribed and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We Wanna Hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We Forever Love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony. Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.